So maybe we will have a little bit of a soul-searching message this morning, but I want to start in Acts, the 18th chapter. I wrote on the board, fervent in spirit. I had first put a name on this, lukewarm, but I didn't want to put that on the board. Maybe I should have. You know, this morning, I want to look at this man's life here for a moment, Acts 18 and 24. There was a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus, it says. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You know, this morning it says that this man was fervent in the Spirit. Now, this man didn't know the message, the full message of Jesus yet. He knew the baptism of John. And the Lord had revealed some things to him. And it says he taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now, I'm curious this morning of this man, because here he didn't know the whole story, but he knew some. And what he knew was burning on his heart. And he was fervent in what he knew. And he was giving himself to it. It says that he mightily convinced the Jews. And it says this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And he was mighty in the scriptures. How do you think that came about? Was he lazy and lethargic to be mighty in the scriptures? I think he was devoted and devout. I think he was diligent. I think his heart was in it. And he was giving himself to this. And so God needed a man over there, even though he didn't know everything he needed to know. He was a humble man, because they came along and taught him more. And we find here a man and his wife sat down with him and explained to him the things he didn't know, and he just drank it in. He didn't say, "You don't understand who you're talking to. I am Apollos, and I'm mighty in the scriptures." He knew there was more. He wanted more. He sought for more. You can tell it by the things that happened in his life. You can hear it from the story, the short account we have of him here. You can see something of who this man Apollos was. He was given to the work of the Lord. He was given to the things of God. And it says he mightily convinced the Jews. How did that happen, that he mightily convinced the Jews? I'll tell you how it happened, because he was mightily convinced. In his heart, it was burning. It says he was fervent in the Spirit. And there was something more than lethargy. There was something more than lukewarm. And this man convinced people. This morning, is it only for a few ministers? And I know we don't believe that. But is it? Is it only for a few? Is it only for some of the old folks and different ones to be mighty in the Scriptures? To be fervent in the Spirit? Or is it for everyone? Is that the normal state of a Christian? I believe it's the normal state of a Christian. I'm not talking about feelings this morning. Feelings go up and down. But I'm talking about a spirit that hungers and thirsts after the things of God and has some fervency about it. You know, I'm not wanting to throw anything at... I don't want this to be a message of condemnation, except that it sort of is. In this way, when the Lord gives His Word to us, as He has done in the Bible, sometimes it is condemning, but it is condemning in a way to lift us up, isn't it? The Lord gave us a song this morning to tell us, I want you to be ready. That's what that song was. Was that song a condemnation? No. It was telling us that we're going to come to that place too, and I want you to be ready. You're going to come to that place and you're going to say, search the books again. Surely, 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 I'm ready. But the Lord wants us to be ready. And so He sends along His Word. He sends along songs. He sends along His own personal dealings with our hearts. You know this word fervent? It means to be hot. It's a primary verb, it says. To be hot, boil. Of liquids, if it was a liquid, it would say boiling. If it was a solid, to glow. You've seen something so hot it glowed. A solid would glow. That is, figuratively, be fervid. Fervid means very hot, burning, boiling as fervid heat. Very warm in zeal, vehement, eager, earnest, as fervid zeal. And the rest of that in Strong says, be fervent. And so, you know, I just want us to think a little bit this morning about something that could be such a blessing to our own life. And that is that we live in such a way before the Lord that we are not lukewarm and we are not. We are not careless or less than hot this morning. I want to read some scriptures to us, but first a couple more here. Romans 12 and 1 and 2. You know, Paul said here in very strong language, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. He did not say to the ministers, I beseech you. He said to all, I beseech you, brethren. This was Paul's strong language here through the Spirit of the Lord, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus presented Himself a living sacrifice, did He? His feelings were not always up. When the Lord called for Him to go to the cross, we find Him sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. We find Him wrestling there. But we find the victory that God gave Him and how He overcame all of those things. And so it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world. And I want to talk a little bit about that after a while. You know, there are things that cause our zeal, that cause our water to become cold or lukewarm. There are things that we can partake of in our life. There are ways that we can live. There are attitudes that we can have that will throw cold water on our fire this morning. The Lord wants us to have a hot fire. A hot fire is, it's nice, isn't it? It's fun to have a hot fire. I'll say it that way. It's fun. It's enjoyable to have a hot fire. It's not real great to be lukewarm. It's not real great to not have that witness from the Lord and that working with God in our life and committing ourselves as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to the Lord. It's not real great to just be conforming ourselves to the world and yet wanting to go to heaven and yet not really sure of a witness there. And we hear messages like this and it's like, I know I'm not really there. I know I'm not really giving myself to God like that. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God this morning. I want to read one more scripture, and then we'll kind of get into a little more of other scriptures. Romans 12 and 11, it says here, not slothful in business. Now Paul had just told them here what we read in the first and second verse to present yourselves a living sacrifice. And then he goes down in the 11th verse and says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. These are the only two places this word fervent in this way is used. And so we find it here where he's exhorting these Romans to be not slothful, not lukewarm, not kind of floating along, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, I wanted to say one more thing about this Apollos. When we are fervent and hot, okay, if you want to say it that way, the temperature hot in the Lord. When our desires and our earnestness is truly earnest, it does affect other people. We want other people to be affected. We want other people to want what we have. Well, I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want to have to live in such a way that they feel like, oh, I kind of long to be part of the world, and yet I gotta be godly, and I want to go to heaven, but I really want this world. I'll tell you what people really want. They want something that satisfies the soul. They want something that means something to people. I believe that. And when they see that, it's very attractive to people. When they see that. So the Lord help us today, that the Lord can help us to just move into the places that God may have for us. And I give this only because I just felt like the Lord gave it to me. Revelations 3 and 14. I want to examine this chapter. I mean this set of scriptures here a little bit. Revelation 3 and 14 to 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You know, this is what the Lord says. He's the one where, amen, it's so. The faithful and true witness, what he says is right. His judgment is right. And so he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. I'm going to read through this and then come back and take it verse by verse a little bit. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to examine this just a little bit this morning. This is the Spirit of God. This is the Lord Jesus. He said at the last, he said, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. It was Jesus speaking these words. And so he told this congregation and this pastor of the congregation, he said, I know your works. You're not cold and you're not hot. He said, I would that you were cold or hot. Why would he say that? He would that you were either cold. I mean, we would never want someone to be cold. But he said, I wish you was either cold or hot. He said, you're lukewarm. That word lukewarm, it means tepid. It means just what we know it to mean. It's just lukewarm. It's a little bit warm, but it doesn't have any fire to it. It doesn't have any zeal to it. It doesn't have any, and that's relating it to water, lukewarm water. But of course, we're relating it, and the Lord's relating it to a spiritual condition. And he's trying to get these people to say it in such a way that they can understand. Because we see here that these people were in a very dangerous condition. Very dangerous. You know, it says here that he was going to spew them out of his mouth. And I want to look at a few things now. They weren't frozen. They weren't so cold they were frozen. But they weren't in earnest. And they weren't aware that God was very highly displeased to the point that he was fixing to say, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's something like throwing up, something like out of your mouth. Okay, I want to look a little more here. We're not talking about feelings, and I want us to know that, because Satan is opposing you and me on every hand, and if our feelings are not up, he'll tell us, you're not zealous, you're not fervent, don't let the devil do that to you. If your whole heart is doing God's will today, and with all your heart you're doing his will, thank God for that this morning. There'll be some things that are easy to define and see if that's the case. Our life, our choices, the things that we do tell where we're really at. And so there's barometers and there's thermometers that tell those kind of things. They were lukewarm. They were indifferent to the things of God, to his interest. You know, they felt, I want to just notice the things that the Lord went down through here and said to these people here. He said, you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. And then he said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now we don't have to be filthy rich to feel this way. We just have to be settled on our lees. Just real feeling like everything's good from now on. I've got things in order. But these people, he said, that he held this against them. He said, because you say that you are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You don't know that. You know the Lord held that against them here? He said, this has to change. You've got to repent of this thing. And so here these people were feeling like, oh, life is good. You know, we can feel that way pretty easy at times in our life, can't we? Life is good. My health is good. Everything's going my way. And the Lord's just blessing. But I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord wants our spirit to be in earnest about the things of God. About the things of God. It is easy. Folks, we're sitting here with a lot of smart people sitting here. It is easy for the saints to prosper in this world. It is easy because they're diligent, they're honest, they're careful, they can make things happen. It's amazing what can happen, and I've watched it with amazement many times. But I will tell you, that easiness of doing that can take the place of doing the same thing in spiritual things. Does that make sense? We can be so astute and so right and so good in this life and have everything set up so well because we're smart folks, aren't we? Sure, God made people smart. I'm looking at a lot of smart people here this morning. I want to tell you something. We better apply it. We need to apply it to the things of God. And so the Lord, when he talked to this congregation, he told them, he said, you're lukewarm. You're not in earnest about the things of God. He said, you're not searching after the things of, you're not fervent in spirit. You're settled and enjoying the good things that you have. You know, those things are nice. They're made to enjoy. They're made to use to God's glory and enjoy. I believe that this morning. But I will tell you, we mustn't mistake God's blessing for anything except that blessing down in our soul. It's nice when he blesses us temporally. And he does that many times, I know. And that's nice too. But I'll tell you what's really nice is, it's nice to have a witness in your soul that God is at work in your life. That he's pleased. That I spend time in prayer. That when I come to read the scriptures, the Lord feeds my soul. You know, this morning the Lord wants to feed us. He wants us to become more mighty in the scriptures than we are. He wants us to use the scriptures. Now, many times they come alive the most when you share them with someone else. There's so many things that I have learned, many, many things. While I'm talking to someone else, the Lord reveals to me something that I have wondered about for 20 years. And I know it's truth. Right then, I recognize that's God. You know, the Lord wants to reveal himself to us this morning. And so I ask us today, just because the Lord gave the burden this morning, that we look to ourselves, examine ourselves, because God wants there to be an earnest, fervent spirit within us to do all the will of God. It is easy to settle on our lees. It is easy for us to be lukewarm. That's the easiest thing we can do in the flesh. It's hard on the spirit, though. You know, they didn't know, and this is something that it shocks me. These people felt very justified. They felt very much like God was right there. And the Lord said, because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Do you know that, I don't know altogether why, but it is so. It is easy for people, it is easy for us, I'll say, to slip into that kind of condition and just rest there and never really be in earnest about the things of God. Now, is this only for some people? I think it's more than that, folks. These people here, what God held against them was they were just simply lukewarm. They just simply said their prayers at night and went to church and did some good deeds, and that's about it. But God really is longing. He's longing for your spirit to reach out to his spirit this morning. And like I say, it's not all about feelings. There's some feelings that follow that. And we love those, don't we? But I will tell you, it's not about feelings all the time. There's times we have to push right through things. But we should have an earnest and fervent spirit, reaching out for the Word of God. Lord, help me today. Lord, help me to be today exactly what you want me to be. Fill me with your grace. Because if I do it my way, I'm going to mess up. I want you to, Lord, I long for you to work through my life today. I believe the Lord wants us. I don't think it's just for the ministers to pray that way. Lord, work through my life. And so he counseled them. I want to look at Isaiah, the 55th chapter, for a minute. And the Lord counseled these people here, 1 through 3 of Isaiah 55. Ho, every one that thirsteth. How's your spirit this morning? Are you thirsting after the things of God? That's what is required this morning. I would like to say, folks, we can just kind of float on in, but it's not going to happen that way. And so the Lord wants us to thirst after him. He said, oh, hey, turn aside here. Look over here. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye. Buy wine, buy and eat. Now, how are you going to buy anything without money? Because this isn't bought with money. This doesn't have anything to do with money. This has something to do with our desire from the Lord, with our fervency to the Lord. And he said, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You can fill up. You can have all you want. You can go as far as you want to go. You can fill your life with it. And this man Apollos, he evidently did that. And he filled his life to the point God began to work in his life. He became not only mighty in the scriptures, but eloquent. The Lord blessed him. He used what he had. You know what? We don't know what God's going to use in our life. But it sure is a blessing when God moves upon you, isn't it? He tells you to go. I want you to go different things. I want you to go give this to that person. And then you find out, hey, I didn't know what I was going to do. He wants you to, you know, the Lord begins to work. And this man, the gifting of the Lord fell upon him. And he was eloquent in the scriptures. And he convinced many. And ours might be a different gift. But I want to tell you something. When our spirit becomes fervent with God, God becomes fervent with us. And he begins to burn in our heart. He begins to move in our life. And it's a blessing. There was many, it says, that was convinced. And we're wanting to convince people, aren't we? Especially those closest around us. We're wanting to convince them. Oh, let's let it burn this morning. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? You know what? A few nice things in the world, it's nice to have. But when that becomes, when the world as John terms it, when it becomes that we love, and when our affections begin to go out to those things, and they're lukewarm to the things of God, then we have to make a decision ourselves. I can't let my soul get in that condition. I can't let my soul be there. I've got to be fervent and earnest and desirous about the things of God. I've got to be diligent to make sure that my calling and election is sure. But not only that, I want to be diligent to learn the scriptures, to share the scriptures, to help, to let God work in my life however he wants to this morning. And like I say, that's different for all of us. But he does want to work in your life and mine. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Oh, it's what it does satisfy though. Oh, we like that. We like that stuff that it brings to us. But it doesn't satisfy the soul, does it? It can never, only more and more of it is all we can do. We can never be truly satisfied as we can in the Lord. Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, I thank the Lord this morning. You know, we read the scripture that said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in this fire. What would that be? Maybe a number of things, all encapsulated in that. Maybe faith that would stand every trial. Maybe the Lord would want us to have that kind of faith. I believe He does. And you know, that doesn't come easy, does it? Sometimes that comes at a real cross to ourself. It comes at a real crucifixion to ourself. But our faith grows. And so, while we want easy street, maybe the Lord wants our faith to grow. Maybe He wants us to launch out on His promises a little more this morning. Pure religion. He says, I'm counseling you to buy of me gold, real gold, not fool's gold. The gold that makes me happy for a moment and then I move on and I got to have more. That's fool's gold. But He said He counsels us to try to buy of Him gold tried in the fire. Pure religion in place of imaginary riches. Confidence that God is going to take care of me. Fool's gold. Confidence in what God has allowed me to have or blessed me with. My health or wealth or positioning in life. I think how foolish those things are to place our hope in. That's fool's gold, folks. But I will tell you, there's a real gold. And I was thinking about how easy it is to not be able to distinguish the difference. Because the ease of life and the pleasures of life can make us feel that way too. The only thing that we can hold to is that, Lord, I want You to anoint my eyes with eye salve. I would like for You to enlighten me by Your Spirit and enliven me by Your Spirit. I'd like for You to be real in my life. Is that only for some people? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's for every one of us. For Him to be real in our life. Is it only for old people? Can young people have it too? I believe, and I've known people, that when they were young, God was very real to them. More than one. I've known of several. I wasn't one of those. But I was 19 before God really became real in my life, or 18. But I want to tell you something. God wants to work in our life. Anoint, Lord, anoint my eyes with eye salve. Let Your Spirit enlighten me that I can understand Your thoughts. Because Your thoughts aren't like my thoughts. My thoughts are, I want to be secure. I want my ducks to be in a row. I want everything to be going good. That's not always God's thoughts this morning. And His thoughts are, I want you to be fervent. I want you to be dependent on me. I want you to love me with all your heart. Every morning I want your heart to call out to me. Every evening I want your heart to call out to me. All day long I want you to depend on me. You know, the Lord, I believe, wants a fervency in our life. And so the Lord help us this morning that we can move into that place and not allow the enemy to stuff us down in a little lukewarm situation where, you know, we've gotten saved. We've been saved. We want to serve the Lord. That's where these people were. But they didn't want to serve the Lord with all their heart and mind and soul and strength. And that's what the Lord was saying. I know this is a little negative in some ways this morning, but God help us today. The Lord knows what we need to shake us loose out of our place. I don't want anybody that's living like this to be condemned, because Satan is right there to throw condemnation. If we're serving the Lord with all our heart, oh, praise the Lord. Go forward. Ask God to use your life. It's a blessing when He does. But if we're not, ask God to anoint our eyes with eye salve. So we don't get to that place. Oh, how I thank God for that song. So we don't get to that place and we say, search it again, Lord. Surely, I thought my name was there. I thought it was. I know I got saved. I thought it was there. And He's saying here, listen to this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Turn around. Repent of it. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to do it your way. Turn around. Go the other way. Until our heart is enveloped in, Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. I want your will to be first. I want to put your ways above mine. The things I do with my time and my money and my life and my mind, I want it to be where you want it to be. I want to be fervent about the things of the Lord. Folks, it's not enough. It's not enough to just go along. I want my name to be there. When I get to that place and I cross over, I don't want people to say, I hope they did. Maybe they did. You know, I don't know. I've said that before at times, and then I've seen those that I know their heart was ablaze with God's love. We can't make this happen, but I'll tell you what we can do, and that is we can set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We can live in such a way that we give ourselves to God, not to the world. We can live in such a way that we don't go down the path that 1 John speaks of, the world and the things that are in the world. Now, sometimes we think of the world as an ungodly, evil spirit. But I'll tell you what, there's things in the world, and our hearts can go out after all of that at the expense of having time to have true, pure devotion to God and His will in our life. It's a choice that we all make. And the Lord says here, as many as I love, oh, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I'm standing there. He didn't throw a cloud on them and a condemnation and try to beat them down. He said, oh, as many as I love. He said, I'm standing at the door and knocking. He gave His word. And they read this. And we've read it. And I believe the Lord is telling us again this morning, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in unto him. And we'll sup with him and he with me. I'll come in with him and we'll sit down to supper together. That sup actually comes from the word supper. He said, I'll come in and we'll sit down together. And I want to tell you, there's nothing more joyous than that. To sit down, to enjoy a meal with someone just that you feel close to love being with them. That's a beauty. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And the Lord said, I'm knocking. In fact, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if any woman will open the door. Any child will open the door. I'll come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Folks, this is not going to be a small thing. This is the God of heaven, the God of all glory, the God that spoke and the worlds came into place. This is him. And he's not going to let us just come in with our flesh. We're going to have to do business with God. And he says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. You're going to come right up there in the presence of my holiness and in the presence of my heaven with all the faithful of the ages. And he says here, even as I also overcame. I know what you're going through. I overcame too. I went through Gethsemane. I went to the cross. I suffered for your sins, in fact. That's what I did. And now I'm set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, this morning, I just want to leave this challenge with us today that we stir up. I'm not going to turn to these places. I'm going to quote them very quickly. These people made choices. That's why they were here. They started well. They were a congregation of the Lord. But somehow they got lukewarm. Somehow they quit being earnest and forward about the things of this life. And they were evidently earnest and forward about, they became earnest about the things of this life and somehow were not about the things of God. If our earnestness and our fervency is settled on this life, we need to think about that this morning. Lord, help us that we do what we have to do to live in this world, but folks, we're not of this world. The friendship, James told us, of the world is enmity with God. They are enemies. The things of this world and our friendship with it and our love and affections to it is an enemy to the spiritual things of God. And so that's what James tells us. We make those choices, don't we? You know, I want us to think about something. There were some people that when the 7 days were almost ended, this is Acts 21, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him. Speaking of Paul. And so they got the people so stirred up that they did something about it. And they laid hands on Paul. We're going to do him damage and we're going to take him in. And, Paul told Timothy, and I'll read this here, I guess. 2 Timothy 1 and 1 to 9. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now he wasn't getting after Timothy. He said, Timothy, I call to remembrance the true faith that you had, unfeigned. There was nothing hypocritical about it. And it was in your mother and it was in your grandmother. And he said, now, Timothy, I want to tell you, you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. You know what that's, I believe what that's referring to is, you know, when there's embers in a wood stove or a fireplace or something, and you want the next thing, you want it to catch, and you stir it up. And there's been many times that I've reached in there with a tong and stirred that around, and I could just feel the heat just coming off of there. Throw a couple of sticks in there and they blaze right up. There's something about stirring up. These people got so stirred up, they laid hands on Paul. You know what? He told Timothy, you stir up the gift of God that's in you. And I want to relay that on to us, folks. We might have to stir it up sometimes too. We might have to kind of stir things in our soul. How is that? And what do I need to do? I think I need to stir myself up a little bit. I want to be sure of my calling and election. And I want God to use my life. Folks, we're not going to go to heaven in a lukewarm state. We're going to have to stir ourselves up. I know we're not. Well, I'll just leave it as the word of the Lord. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't let the things of life hold you back. You stir up that gift that's in you. Don't let the fear. Well, what's going to happen? Am I going to end up in jail like Paul is? Am I going to end up with persecution? Are my friends going to look down on me? Stir it up. Stir it up and let what happens happen, if that's God's way and God's will. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker. Timothy, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had all, he had our lives in mind. He wants our lives to be something that's alive, stirred up, ready to meet the Lord, ready to do the Lord's will. Are we always going to feel great? No, we're not. We're going to feel down sometimes. We're in life. But I will tell you, he wants us to overcome. Don't let it quench our fire. Stir it up and let it burn. Stir it up toward the things of God. Stir up our willingness to have devotions. Stir up our willingness to be counted where the Lord wants us to be counted and when. Stir up to be counted upon when the Lord needs a man or a woman somewhere, or a boy or a girl somewhere. Stir it up, Lord. I want to be in that place. Stir it up. And don't let us just become lukewarm. I want to read a little more yet, if you'll allow me to. You know, the scripture talks about quench not the spirit. I want to read a little out of a commentary here. In a similar manner, the apostle gives this direction to Timothy. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up, kindle up, cause to burn the gift of God. And listen to these words here. Anything that will tend to damp the ardor of piety in the soul, to chill our feelings, to render us cold and lifeless in the service of God, may be regarded as quenching the spirit. Neglect of cultivating the Christian graces, or of prayer, of the Bible, of the sanctuary, of a careful watchfulness over the heart will do it. That'll chill the heart. Worldliness. Folks, we may not understand the connection, but there's a great connection between worldliness and lukewarmness. It throws a damper upon us because, partly, the Spirit of God cannot burn in that thing. He won't. And so as we gravitate in our affections and our love for the things of the world, I will tell you, the Spirit of God is quenched when we do that. Worldliness, vanity, levity, ambition, pride, the love of dress or indulgence, and an improper train of thought will do it. It is a great rule in religion that all the piety which there is in the soul. Well, I'll move on here. A man has no more religion than he intends to have. He has no graces of the Spirit which he does not seek. He has no deadness to the world which is not the object of his sincere desire, and which he does not aim to have. Anyone, if he will, may make elevated attainments in the divine life, or he may make his religion merely a religion of form and know little of its power and its consolations. Oh, I think about the one that the scriptures say your zeal hath provoked very many. Oh, I know the Lord longs for every one of us that our zeal will be provoking. It'll be catchy. It'll be a challenge. We're not talking about dead ardor for condemnation on people. We're talking about zeal. Hot fire in the soul. The Lord help us this morning. I hope you have an accurate picture of what God longs for in our life. How He longs for us to draw up close to Him. How He longs to be able to tell us what to do. And to impart to us His sincere desire for our life and our day. How He longs to draw us up close to Him. And so He says, as many as I love, I rebuke. I stand at the door and knock. Amen.